Hey loves, like you, I desire an abundant life and its lifestyle, and to continue to show up as my best version of self, where we win in life to reclaim, rediscover, redesign an authentic and genuine self. And yes, this is intimacy on a whole new level. Welcome. Join us at claritywithsue.com. Again, that's claritywithsue.com.
Welcome to the good life. Welcome aboard the Sue ship, Clarity with Sue, where we are going to get tapped in and turned on for our life. We're reclaiming, redesigning. We've got new perspective, new thoughts, new ideas. And my promise to you is every week to bring new thoughts, new ideas, and new perspectives. And it's the reclaiming, rediscovering, redesigning who we are. It's still you. It's just a little 2.0, 2.12, if you want it to be. Just keep learning, keep evolving, keep redesigning, rediscovering, and reclaiming. And honestly, that's my promise to you guys. And I bring on some incredible guests that will provide this information, not only for myself, but for all of you as well. Thank you to the international and national presence for helping us with our KKNW listener poll. So thank you for doing that for us. We are done as of this week, I believe. Right, Benny?
Yeah, it was on Sunday. So we're going to compile all that information and hand it back to you in a nice bow in a box.
Nice, pretty.
I mean, that's packet. My expectations.
Yes. Well, I would like that too. So
yeah.
Right? See what's going on.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Oh, I love it. Well, thank you, Benny. Good morning, sweetheart.
Good morning.
Nice to kind of see you. I'm looking at the KKNW banner, but hi.
Okay, I'll turn it on.
Thank you, everybody. They love to see you and talk to us and the banter and all of that.
I'll make sure to do that next time.
Okay, we will do that. So, you know what, guys? I want you, you know, I'm going to do the awareness. It's an inside job. It's awareness practice that I do every morning. And I'm just going to give you a little teaser today because within the awareness, it's how you are showing up, how you are showing up for your life and what that looks like for you. So that contrast and really being aware, awareness is a number one with all of the reclaiming, rediscovering, you know, redesigning, and, you know, our evolution, right? It's you have to have that awareness versus denial versus perhaps being exhausted, feeling helpless, frozen. Those are the awareness, right? So you have the awareness and it is not normal for you to be frozen. It is not normal for you to be depressed. It is not normal for you to be anxious or exhausted. So with that, I'm going to get into our little awareness practice for today. And it is about getting tapped in and tuned in to who we are. And in that process, it's about forgiveness. Today, it is forgiveness. So do you want to forgive, or do you want to be in that dwelling? That dwelling is that heavy, sticky, sad, resentful. You know, you guys have heard me talk about that. It's the sticky energy and it's the sticky emotions, right? Or do you want to feel that light, loving, kind, freedom, you know, eager kind of frequency and energy in your body? Really pay attention to that over the next couple of days and see where that's showing up in your life and make the appropriate changes. Now, learning to let go, there's an emotional and there's decisional. There's two sides to this forgiveness. So when you come from an emotional or decisional, a decisional involves conscious choice, right? To replace ill will with will. So when you're in the process of forgiving, there's a couple little steps I want you guys to just foster, do. I'm inviting you to do. So it's acknowledging that you're actually in that process of forgiving, what that looks like. What are the feelings that are coming up for you within the umbrella of forgiveness? And why do I say, is it important for you to feel into that? Because it is. It's not about avoidance. It's not about shoving all those emotions down. Do not do that, because you don't want to hold anger and resentments into your body. You want to forgive. Again, going to what I just talked about, you want to have the light, loving, freedom, care, kindness type of energy and body. You don't want to have those residuals of the sticky energies in your body. You just don't want to do that. So acknowledge it, lean into it. And of course, take baby steps, baby, little baby steps. Don't force it. It's going to be your own process. There's some bigger ones. There's a bigger contrast and a smaller contrast of this forgiveness process. So again, lean into it, acknowledge it, but also start the process of forgiving and letting it go out of your body. It's the baby steps. And then small acts of kindness. This was a huge one for me. You know, focusing on other people's, not issues, but just focusing on other people, not to say that I was distracted or wasn't going to deal with it, although I have done that and I don't recommend that either. We've all been there, right? What I would like to say is doing those small acts of kindness, it's a beautiful frequency. It's of hope, it's of kindness, it's of giving. And it's not that you're doing it to make that any better. You're doing it because, well, it's the right thing to do, and also to lift yourself and to lift your frequency and that happiness juices. And lastly, for forgiveness, really commit to that practice. Do not go down the rabbit hole of dwelling into the resentment. So really make a commitment to yourself that you are going to work on forgiveness daily. Again, do the baby steps, acknowledge it, and then commit to that forgiveness. And oh, there was another thing I know with forgiveness. When those stingers, I'm adjective to describe, when the forgiveness or the ill will comes up, the memory comes up, it's really important, again, that you get it out of your body. Replace it with love. Replace it with a love visual. Replace it with a love feeling. And just acknowledge, you know what? We're good. That doesn't serve me anymore. I'm moving on. All right. So with that was our daily awareness. It's an inside job. Sue here with Claire. Do we see we're getting tapped in and turned on for life today? Like I talked to you guys about having that awareness, we're going to talk about what is holding you back. That could be anxious. It can be exhausted, helpless, frozen. What about restless? What about trauma? There's a big, huge conversation about trauma, small T traumas, big T traumas. Quite a bit of the media is really honing in on what these types of traumas are. Today, I have Marty Whatke, the Whatke Infinite Potential Institute in Santa Barbara, California, is a pioneer in the field of neurotherapy, also neurofeedback, and was the first to utilize neurofeedback as an inpatient treatment method for drug addictions, anxiety disorders, depression, and post-traumatic stress. Welcome, Infinite Potentials. Marty, welcome.
Hi, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, so yes, I do the formal bio and all of that. I would like to know how you got started with all this. It's been 40 years, right? What's your why? Yeah.
The why. The why is a long story, but I'll try to consolidate it a little bit. I was born and raised in New York, and during my adolescence, I went through a pretty rough period with drugs and alcohol and getting in a lot of trouble, and went in and out of drug and alcohol treatment centers for about 4 or 5 years. Started when I was 14. And really went through a rough period of time. And this is back in the 70s. So finally, what happened after several overdoses and me sort of giving up and everybody giving up on me, I had, the proverbial spiritual awakening experience. And it was profound, October 28th, 1978. So
Wow.
I remember it. And that was it. That turned my life completely around. And long and short is I realized that I survived what I survived for a purpose, a reason, like many people do who go through that sort of thing. And I had a mission. I had to help other people. So that led me to pre-med, which I wasn't real thrilled with. I ended up moving from New York to Georgia to attend chiropractic university outside of Atlanta. I thought that was a nice holistic field. But partway through there, I met a spiritual teacher who had a yoga retreat center in North Georgia. And he made a huge impact on me. And I felt like that, you know, I was still searching for my path, but I felt like, you know what, that's the path of spirituality, that's, I had a spiritual awakening. This is what I need to aim for, because this is how I can learn to share what I've done. So I moved up to a very rural mountainous region of North Georgia, this New York boy up in the middle of hillbilly country. Excuse me.
Totally. No, you're good.
There happened to be a very plush hospital there, Drug and Alcohol Treatment Center. It's not in existence anymore. It was Woodridge Hospital. And I started teaching meditation there just as a, you know, as a service, my ministry, so to speak. And one day the medical director approached me. He said, "What are you doing with these people?" This was, you know, this was 1980, 82 in the mountains of Northern Georgia. You know, he's, and I'm going to imitate his accent. He said, "What are you doing with these people?"
Yeah, the hillbillies are like, meditation.
And he was no hillbilly. He drove up to the hospital on Bentley every morning. So,
oh my goodness. Gotcha.
So, so I said, you know, I'm just teaching him meditation, but the patients were reporting to him every night when he did his rounds that this guy is doing something profound. My pain's gone. My anxiety's gone. My depression's gone. My drug and alcohol cravings or eating disorders, whatever it was. So he asked me, he said, "Would you design a program for us?" And it was a 12-step program, which I wasn't into 12-step, but 12-step is a good program. It ends in a spiritual awakening and so on and so on.
But and forgiveness and acceptance. Yes, yeah.
So I realized I needed to be, if I was going to work in, you know, Western medicine, I needed to bring more validity and credibility to the process of meditation. Yeah. So I researched and researched and researched and found, you know, the most significant thing that happens with meditators is their brains change over time. And it's being proven more and more now. But back then, it was even, there was some research showing that. So I looked further and I saw there was this thing known as brainwave biofeedback, where you can actually measure the brain and give feedback. And I found a company that sold the equipment. Lo and behold, the hospital said, "Go for it." And they gave me my own building. I had 7 treatment rooms and there were 35 patients at all times. The hospital stayed full.
Wow.
I saw them all twice a day. And, you know, back then it was just myself and a handful, literally a handful, you know, like this many around the world doing this. So I was the first one to do an inpatient psych. And even though my, you know, my goal was, you know, I'm going to speed up the meditation process with these people. We have them for 30 days. You know, that was my goal and still is my goal, frankly. But immediately the patients who were going through it started reporting, as I said, my chronic pain's gone, my cravings gone, my post-traumatic stress, which I've been dealing with for God knows how long, is less. I'm sleeping better, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that became, you know, the focal, the selling point. And I got published early on. And people around the world, clinicians around the world, like, "What is this? We've got to try this." So that's what really set it off. And it spread, you know, throughout the United States and in Europe. I went to Europe for a long time teaching and training people. So it started out as a mission. It still is my mission. I'll never stop. You know, people say, "When are you going to retire?" I'm not going to retire. This is my life. You know, it's not my work. So, you know, and I've had some remarkable successes. My son was brain injured at birth 30 years ago. And I had to figure out how to treat him because there was nothing out there. And now there is a center in Roswell, Georgia, if anyone wants to look it up, named after him, called Jacob's Ladder. And it's a profound place for autism, Downs, brain injured kids. He works there as a teacher. We've got 200 full-time employees, all one-on-one. And the program is something that I and my ex-wife designed to fix his brain, and it's going full force right now. So you know, lots of inspirational moments in my life and people and successes that have pushed me forward. But it's very, and out here where I am now in Santa Barbara, California, you know, it's a very good consciousness here, this whole West Coast, in fact. And we get a you know, a lot of acceptance here in the medical community. I've worked with the prison system, sheriff's department. So it is caught fire. And as you said, you've done it. So, you know, it's getting fairly well known.
I'm surprised you say fairly well known, but gosh, you've been doing this a heck of a lot longer than I have. I'm like, it should be mainstream, right? It really should be part of the process.
It should be. And honestly, I'm amazed it's made it as far as it has now.
Why is that? To unpack that. What do you mean? You know what? Let's do this. Marty. You know what? Because I want, yes, for the why. And of course, we teach what we most need to learn. However, let's back up before we do that. Sure. And when I saw the analogy and the example of the choir on your website of how this is, how about we start there and give them that example so they understand and have a foundation of what we're talking about?
Okay, I'll modify it a bit.
Okay.
So the brain has this electrical activity constantly. It's so much that we could light a 40-watt light bulb with the amount of electricity our brain is producing. And trillions and trillions of neurons and networks are all reflecting what we're thinking, how we're thinking, how healthy our brain is, how unhealthy it is. It's like a choir. If it's working right, the harmony is beautiful. The soprano knows when they have a solo. The tenors know how to back up the bass and so on. But the brain is very much the same way. And so we can measure a person's brain waves. We can't, you know, tell them what their thoughts are, but we can tell how well their brain is working. We have enormous databases now that give us norms. So the brain is always communicating with internally and externally with the environment, and then processing and translating it internally. So these brain waves are what we measure, this electrical activity that we measure at the scalp, and they're telling a story. Like how healthy the mind is, how well the brain is working, how much trauma and how much resistance.
Whether it's firing or not firing or wonky, my language, right?
And coherence, how coherent. There's 6,000 measures, and there are lots of different categories. Connectivity is another big one we're discovering now. So every thought that we think is being carried by these brain waves. Brain waves are like carrier waves. They carry intelligence. So what we saw happen with meditators is very clear. The efficiency of the brain increases, processing increases. And then conversely, when we see problems like depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, you see problems in these brain waves and in specific areas of the brain. We can tell when, you know, it's like grooves. You know, if you drive past the cow pasture, you can tell where the cows walk all the time because there's grooves. Well, it's the same thing with our thoughts and our behaviors. Unfortunately, most of them are subconscious, and we don't even know why we're driven to behave and think and do the things we do. As you said in the beginning, if we become aware and use the right interventions, we can eventually overcome them. But it's really
way easier to stay in denial, though, isn't it?
Exactly. Well, there's literally parts of the brain that want to. They don't want us to see certain.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's too much. We have a part of the brain called the default mode network, and it keeps us sound asleep. And it's its job. It's its job to, you know, to preserve energy.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're driving down the highway, and all of a sudden you say, "Oh, is there exit 76?" Well, the last exit I remember is exit 25. What happened? Well, your default mode took over. It actually drives better than you do. But the problem.
Wait a minute. To the drivers listening, we don't recommend that. Please stay aware.
Don't space out while you're driving. So, but it does that for everything. Oh, I like that kind of person. I don't like that kind of person. I have this judgment, resentment. You know, everything is contained within that default mode. And what you see with advanced meditators, Tibetan lamas, is the default mode quiets. So they can be, you know, it's very cliche, but it's true. They can be present. They can be here now and not constantly acting out of memory or projection into the future.
Right there is so important, Marty, because people think that that's their norm because they've been positioned in it for so many. I mean, they were born into it. They were in the womb in it, you know?
Exactly.
And it's not your norm.
No, it's not. And the default mode keeps driving us back to that. It's really...
Or there's coffee, or there's, you know, the other energy drinks I'm not going to televise. Yes. Stuff that's going to keep us zinged up and zinged out,
yes.
Right?
Yes. No. Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what most drug addiction I have discovered at my experience is self-medication. We're just trying to our different...
Numbing out.
Yeah, different brain chemistries have different propensities, whether it's food, sugar, you know, stimulants, sedatives, alcohol, whatever. There are neurotransmitters, which are the brain chemicals, that drive us toward certain things. And that becomes part of the default mode network. Oh, I know what will solve this problem here. Let me take a pill, or let me take a drink, or let me take a snort, whatever it is.
Whatever it is.
So it's really, that is our biggest challenge. The default mode also defines our false personality,
yes. You know,
our authentic sense, our real identity is hidden by the default mode. No, you're not that. You're a body. You have a mind. Maybe you have a soul or a spirit somewhere, but that's not guaranteed. You know, when it's all quite the opposite, we're spiritual beings with a body and a mind, but we're not that. We are the being, the awareness behind that. But the default mode wants to tell us otherwise. No, it's all about survival and who gets ahead first and so on.
So when you say the default mode, what I hear, my language, what I use, it's like the nervous system going tap, tap, tap. Mm-mm. No, 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 no. We're going to keep you safe. Is it kind of the same thing? I mean, obviously
yes, and you see it. It's these networks in the brain, and you can see it on a scan. It lights up, and it's like a pinball machine. Ting, 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 ting.
Yeah, go, all the neural pathways firing up.
And it just said, "This is the way it is. Don't argue with me. I'm trying to save you energy. This is how it is. You don't like broccoli, okay? Forget it. Even if it's good for you,
it shows me right here. Yeah,
exactly." And then our traumas, you know.
Oh, Lord, yes.
The amygdala is a part of the brain that is always scanning if we've been traumatized. It's always scanning for similar people, places, and things in our environment. That's why people who have been traumatized are so hypervigilant. Why am I always aware of everything? Or why do I startle so easily? Well, because your amygdala is really on guard.
Yep.
And unfortunately, it gets tied into the limbic system, the emotional part of the brain, and then the viscera. So every cell in the body starts. Bessel van der Kolk wrote a wonderful book called The Body Keeps the Score.
Yes.
Quite
so
literally
good.
Is true. Our bodies keep the score of everything that happens to us. Well, the default mode, guess what? It keeps the score too. And it's just trying to protect us. The problem is it keeps us in these vicious cycles of behaviors and thinking if we have anything negative going on.
Right. The rabbit hole, the shames, the guilts, all
exactly.
The, well, you heard me at the top of the hour talking about the awareness practice of forgiveness. Right. And I like to use, because words are important. Words are very powerful. Right. So I say sticky energy, sticky words. That's the resentments. It's the sticky stuff. You know,
very
this,
accurate.
Right. Or it's the crimp in the wire and the nerve, you know, the wire in the brain. It's sticky. Yeah. I don't know where I was going with that, Marty, but it sounded
but that,
good.
That's accurate, because that's what the default mode is. It sticks to things.
Yeah. And it keeps us stuck.
And it keeps us stuck.
Yeah. Just like what you were talking about, you know, on this, well, on your one sheet, but also on the website, it's what are those things that are keeping us stuck, holding us back, right?
Exactly.
It's the anxieties, those things that we think that are our norms, our anxieties, our exhaustion. I know, and I speak from my own personal experience in all of this, because I was hypervigilant. I'm still, I have residuals of that and still working through that. Mm-hmm. And also adrenal failure and everything that my body was like, oh my, you're constantly on fight and flight, right?
Yeah.
Constantly.
Yeah.
And you don't realize how exhausted you are until you are exhausted. You're just flat out done. Yeah.
Flat out. Well, you know, it's an epidemic now because of the pandemic.
Yep.
There's this lurking background threat. And people who never had anxiety, or at least didn't experience to the degree that they are now, are feeling this threat and not understanding where it's, or, you know, you kind of get where it's coming from, but what it's doing to the body and the mind and the psyche is pretty significant. So we get a lot of that. And a lot of clients who have this pandemic produced anxiety.
Yeah. And I think, you know, that's the rabbit hole again too, Marty, where, you know, it's that massive isolation. We as humans, we're packs, right? I mean, you've got this conversation between introverts and extroverts and all that. However, long and short, the reality is we are packs, you know, and I know for myself, there was a massive isolation and with the isolation, now I'm having to go back because I work from home. I live from home, all of that. And I'm like, ooh, I can get all cozy and safe in here again. You know, I'm good. I'm safe here. And I'm like, Sue, out, you know, you have to stop that and get out.
Yeah, right.
Well, okay. So, okay. Well, it's about 8:30. Let's take a quick commercial break. Hey guys, on the radio world, we're going to take a quick commercial break with Marty. We're going to come back. We're going to keep talking about neurofeedback, neurotherapy, what this looks like. We're going to unpack it some more. Have a little bit of conversation about that and some stories. If you'd like to join us on YouTube, we are still going to be live on YouTube for the commercial break. So just go to YouTube and type in 11:50 a.m. and you can see us both noodling on YouTube. We'll be right back, you guys. Hey guys, Sue here. How does this sound? Releasing your small T trauma blocks. What are small T trauma blocks? Those are those little nicks in your nervous system, those little triggers that pop up that are keeping you diminished, keeping you small, keeping you from your greatest potential. I'm going to be doing a 5-day mini event in April. Let's get together and really have powerful change. Go to claritywithsue.com. That's claritywithsue.com.
Alternative Talk 1150 is your sports organization's safe bet when it comes to airing your team's games. Our players are all seasoned professionals when it comes to sports programming. Imagine your games being heard on local radio. Your team deserves the MVP treatment. Call 425-653-1150 today to learn how affordable and fun it is to broadcast your games on the radio. Call 425-653-1150 and make your next season something special. That's 425-653-1150.
Hi guys, Sue here with Clarity with Sue, claritywithsue.com. How does 15 years in the radio industry, solid reputation, high integrity, conscious, mind, body, spirit, focus, organics, and fitness? I am looking for conscious collaborators, an aligned message. Let's get your product and service to the masses. Contact me at sue@claritywithsue.com. That's sue@claritywithsue.com.
Have something important to say? Want to help improve our world? Need to promote your business uniquely and effectively? KKNW is the answer. Our staff helps broadcasters and podcasters create professional-sounding audio. Bring your talent and let our experts help you craft a radio show or podcast that best delivers your message. Learn more at 1150kknw.com. That's 1150kknw.com. KKNW, talk variety that's live and local.
Hey everyone, Sue Lundquist here with Clarity with Sue, and that's claritywithsue.com. I am talking to you about going from checked out to tapped in. Set your team up and apart from others and create a culture to be proud of. Help your team find its purpose. I'm going to talk about morale, three phases of transformation, those little nicks in the wire, your beliefs, and really getting present so you have the resilience so you can engage and you can have intentional living. This provides the purpose your team is desiring. Let's get you tapped in and on a unified front with appreciation,
and building an aligned team and its morale. Simply email me, sue@claritywithsue.com. That's sue@claritywithsue.com.
Alternative Talk 1150. It's good for what ails you. This statement has not been evaluated by the FDA.
Welcome back. It's Sue. Welcome back, you guys. Clarity with Sue, getting tapped in and turned on to life. We are getting into this new perspective, new thoughts, new ideas. Marty, what key? We are joined. We have been talking about neurofeedback, well, we didn't talk about neuroscience, but it's kind of all packaged in that whole thing. Neurotherapy, what you are doing, your why, the default mode, that nervous system going tap, tap, tap. Although beautiful bodies are beautiful, I say bodies as the umbrella. Thank God we have this whole beautiful body, God, G-O-D, whatever, chopsticks, whatever you want it to be for you, that you have this beautiful, incredible vessel that can protect you, can love you. And Marty and I, during the commercial break, we were talking on YouTube about having permission and reminding ourselves that we are safe, right? And I was asking Marty during the break about his meditation practice, because you guys know I've spent many years traveling around the world and helping people within healing themselves. And meditation has been the number one foundation for, well, of course, awareness, but then meditation, whether it's walking meditation. And for me, and Marty, you were alluding to this on YouTube, some people don't take to meditation, but I would like to open that up and unpack, because when I have the conversation about meditation, it could be walking in the garden. It could be shooting hoops with a basketball.
Yeah.
It could be anything that gets you in that state.
Yes.
It is so important that people understand that. It's not, because I'm so practical in that sense, it's not about going to the mountaintop and going, no. It's not, you know, for 5-6 hours. It doesn't have to be that. If you want to do that, go for it.
Yeah.
However, in our day-to-day life, we have bills, we have cars, we have in-laws, we have animals, we have shiitakes going all around us, right? So we need real-time, real-life practical tools to help us self-regulate.
Yes.
And get us to homeostasis and to love on our body. And the number one thing is the breath. And it's free, brothers and sisters. You guys have heard me talk about this. There's no coupon needed. There's nothing. All you got to do is breathe. Right, Marty?
Yeah. As we said on the break, the mind and the breathing pattern, and by pattern, you know, inhalation, exhalation, where in your torso you're breathing from, ideally the abdomen. So the breath and the mind is intimately connected. And most meditation teachings teach that if you can learn to regulate the breath, not force it, not control it, but regulate it.
And remember to breathe.
And watch.
Have that awareness, right?
Yeah, watch the breath. Eventually the mind will quiet down, because that's the whole point behind meditation. Not stopping the mind, not stopping thoughts, but taking a step back from the mind, a step back from the thoughts, and experiencing the awareness that is behind it. So, but you're absolutely right. When we work with criminal people who have criminal history, especially if they're pretty new, you really can't teach them right off the bat how to meditate. They'll have ab reactions. I mean, you've been in yoga classes where somebody jumps up off the floor and runs out screaming, "I can't do." Well, what happens is when you start to settle the waves down, whatever's underneath there will jump up. So with these guys, we guess what? Out in the garden, that's your meditation. Silently plant that plant and nurture it. And, some people call that karma yoga. But after a time of working in nature, sort of a selfless attitude, then meditation can come.
But yeah,
maybe not initially. It may take a little time.
And that's okay, you guys.
Okay,
absolutely. It's those little tiny baby steps. It is the baby steps that are going to have that foundation to get you where you want to go. And again, and I think Marty would agree to this, don't allow yourself to go down the rabbit hole of I'm the shames or the guilt. I'm not doing it right. I'm not doing it this way or that way, or she's breathing better than me. It's not about any of that. It's your personal practice.
Yeah.
Personally. Yeah. And breath is the number one, you guys. And I remember talking to some kids, and I would have them, and I don't know, maybe you've heard this before. I would literally show, you know, trying to get them to really do that deep breathing. Mm-hmm. I'd put them on their bellies. Mm-hmm. And then I'd say, take a deep breath, and they kind of waddle on their belly. And they would, it was fun for them, right? Because they're like, whoa. I'm like, see, that's you filling up the whole lung capacity, right?
Yes.
But it's so important. But that's me too. I want to have fun and have that silliness because yes, we are dealing with some serious issues. However, let's put a little bit of sugar on it and not go down the shame hole, right?
Yeah, very effective.
Not sugar coating it. Just a little bit of powdered sugar.
A good flavor.
Yeah, totally. Okay, let's, we talked about neurotherapy, the choir example. Marty, can we talk about neuroplasticity? Because I don't, and to break that down, because I don't, I have found that people do not, well, one, they haven't had the education. Two, the media just doesn't talk about it openly. That you can change.
Yeah.
You absolutely can change your brain chemistry, your neurotransmitters, your neural paths, all of that, that then has this domino effect in your biology and all the cells and everything. So it's a really juicy conversation. Go ahead,
yeah.
Marty.
Yeah, there's two principles that have been, I say recently, the past few decades, acknowledged. It's not that they've been discovered because they've always been there. The first is neuroplasticity, and that just means neurologically our systems are plastic. They can adapt, mold, and the reality is they do constantly. Right now this is happening. Your listeners are listening to what I'm saying, and they're having changes occur in the brain and so on. The other one is neurogenesis, which is very exciting. Stem cells can create new neurons, new connections. And that's another process that goes on till our last breath, and actually a little bit beyond. So these two principles are quite miraculous because it means that we're never frozen. We can always change.
Malleable, changeable.
Malleable. But we have to be intentional about it. Like you said, the awareness practice is a good example. Because whatever consistent thoughts or attitudes we have are taking that neuroplasticity. And as I mentioned with the cow pasture trail, they're digging those grooves in deeper and deeper and deeper. There's ways to get out of those grooves. Some of it is just being intentional. Meditation is another way. Sometimes it takes a shock. They're like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm destroying my life. I'm destroying their lives. And sometimes that's enough. And because, see, new connections don't take a long time. That long. In fact,
really
quicker
quick.
Than I can
I know.
Snap.
I went on the website because I'm tactile and I can see it. I'm like, oh. So every time I go into that space where I'm like doubting, I'm like, mm-mm. I have that tactile memory of the neural pathway going, nope, awesome. You changed. And I'm like, go ahead, Marty. It's super cool.
It's like the neurons will go, boop. You know, they'll make new connections instantly because that's the way they want to go. And that, as you said earlier, is going to affect every cell in the body. You know, so many of our illnesses and diseases now are being traced back to stress and traumas and so on and so on. And you can undo a lot of that if the process hasn't gotten too far down the road. Despite, you know, and there's that Norman Cousins wrote, you know, books about how he cured himself and so on. So this is something that you obviously caught onto and share with your listeners. But being intentional about how we think will change that those neural pathways in a positive direction.
And the important thing here, Marty, with that conversation, thank you for that, is the conversation you're having with yourself, the language that you're using. You know, I was talking at the top of the hour about that contrast, the sticky stuff, forgiveness.
Yeah.
You know, it's the sticky, you know, you can feel it.
Yeah.
You know, it's the dense energy, it's the dense emotions, whether it, and it's the light and the forgiveness and the love and the eagerness, right? You know it, even absolutely, in the conversation, you know it, you can feel it. Yeah.
Yes. That's very good.
Yeah. So important. The biggest message, Marty, here is one, you have a big fat permission slip, meaning finding the people, the tribes, the new perspective, the new thoughts and the new ideas, whether it's my radio show, it's Marty and going to you guys and finding what feels right to you. And Marty and I have been talking about the breath work and meditation and neurofeedback. And this is just another incredible tool to help you really see your personal feedback, my language, right? Because you can actually see that neurologically, what's happening. What, you know, like your example with broccoli. Nope, your body doesn't like broccoli. I can see it right here, right? Or the example that you used with the choir too, which I think, and if you guys want to go to the website, I'll get everything for you. But that choir example, because it's that coherence, right? Versus the chaos.
Yes, exactly.
I have been working for years to bring in coherence with internal life and external life. And it's getting there, right? You know, there's still bits and pieces that pop up and I'm like, yeah, no, thank you. It's those little sticky Velcro ball. I'm like, nope, no, thank you. I don't want any more of that. Right.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yes. And the breath work is so important, but we've got a couple more minutes. Tips and tools. I mean, we talked about breath work because I want people to walk away with some light bulbs, right? I mean, I'm sure there's been quite a few with our conversation, but also really being able to get the help that they need. I mean, this platform with the radio show and what we're doing is help in itself, but where can we go with this, Marty? How can we have that conversation with the audience?
Well, you know, joining a group of like-minded people who do meditation can be extremely beneficial. Really helps to meditate in a group of people with other people who have experience. There's no doubt that that
collective energy,
the vibration of that collective energy has this osmotic effect. Well, we have a very big office here, 3,000 square feet, but 1,000 square feet are devoted to a meditation room where we have meditation service.
Sign me up!
Anybody can come, the general public.
Oh.
Because people report, they say, you know, I have trouble at home, but when I come sit with a group, I can meditate. So that's number one. I really want to stress that. And then, like you said, it doesn't have to be, you know, this formal sitting in a group and chanting om and doing mantras. Go out to the beach, go to the woods or a park or wherever there is nature. Take your shoes and socks off.
Oh, with that, Marty, can I say something? Because this is something I learned a few years ago, and this was so juicy and profound for me. So I teach it as well. That whole going into nature and grounding.
Absolutely.
Instead of walking forward, I encourage, including myself, take your shoes and socks off and walk backwards.
Yeah.
Because it's so intentional. You have to get in your body. You got to know where you're stepping, right?
Yes, that's very good.
It's so juicy. Okay, please continue.
And Qigong, that's good for your kidneys too, by the way.
Oh, is it? Nice. Okay, kidneys. So, I'm doing the moonwalk.
You know, you've heard the forest bathing, you know, go take a forest bath. It's just so, it's so good for, because we are from nature. We're not from the concrete and the metal.
No, no.
And as much as we can, we have to avoid the electrical pollution, the noise, the cell towers and so on.
The chaos.
The chaos. So the other thing, though, there are breathing techniques that are very, very effective. There's some more advanced ones, but there's one called alternate nostril breathing, which is very effective for balancing the brain hemispheres. You can Google it, and there's all kinds of examples on YouTube. Alternate nostril breathing. Sure,
yep, done that, yes.
The other thing is keeping the body clean as possible. Eating is, you know, it's not always easy, but eating as clean as possible. food that is as close to its natural state as possible. In other words, as soon as it's processed, packaged, dehydrated, it loses its vitality. Food has vitality, not just vitamins and minerals, but vitality. So we encourage people, if they want to feel better mentally, physically, emotionally, take a look at what they're eating and how they're eating.
100%.
And then there's, then along with working on the mind, you've got to work on the body, whether it be some kind of a stretching class, hatha yoga, Pilates, whatever, or, a good massage just to get the stress out of the body. It's extremely important. You cannot hope to, integrate trauma in the mind and emotion and psychologically without working with the body. It won't work. I've seen it over and over again. You've got to address it from both perspectives. So, I would encourage your listeners, if they are suffering, look for interventions like that have to do with the body, with the mind, with the breath, meditation, if they can, get their diets right, exercise, sunshine. Oh my God, people are so paranoid.
Yes.
You don't go out there and burn yourself, but we are creatures that the cycle of the sun is what produces the cycles in our body. And for instance, I get a lot of people with insomnia. The first thing I tell them to do is get about 30 minutes of the morning sunlight. Get out there, soak it up, expose a square foot of skin, and sure enough, that sets off the serotonin cycle, which, what does it do? It ends up as the melatonin cycle and helps them sleep at night. So all this holistic knowledge is still sort of in the background, but it's becoming more and more well known now. Yep. That if we approach the body, the mind, our issues from this holistic perspective, and I love the way you say give ourselves permission, and forgiveness is number one, particularly forgiving ourselves. It's amazing what the body can do, really.
It is. And I'm breathing into exactly what you just said, because there's so much truth in, of course, the awareness, but then that forgiveness of self. That forgiveness of self is a huge process. I say process of elimination, because you want to eliminate and get all that stuff out of your body, out of your nervous system, get rid of it. And to come from a space of forgiveness, not in shame, forgiveness is all about you. It's about your body, your psyche. And again, Marty, going back to, you have permission. You don't have to live that way. You don't have to speak that way. You don't have to show up that way. That's an old program. We were talking, default mode, or the nervous system, or a trauma.
Yeah.
There's this old story in there that says, this is how you have to show up. This is how you have to behave, or not.
Yes. Yes.
And then that can be tied in with trauma. So all in all, what I'm saying too, and what Marty is also teaching through neurofeedback and breath work and meditation, it's self-love, it's self-care, it's emptying, you know what I just had a visual of, Marty? It's a boat. You're in a boat and you're trying to scoop out the water before I drowned, right? It's the analogy of that. I can't keep rowing the boat upstream and I'm drowning. I can't do it all at once, right? So provide, get tools like neurofeedback, breath work, forgiveness. These are a lot of this here that we're talking about, guys, is stuff that you can do. Going out in nature, walking backwards, it's great for the kidneys. I love that. Do the moonwalk naked or not. Well, you can do it naked too, but I was thinking do the moonwalk in Santa Barbara at the beach or something like that. I don't know if the Santa Barbara police would like you doing that naked.
Some of the beaches,
it's totally
reserved.
We're reserved for that. But yeah, all in all, it's about that self-love, that self-care for you and yourself. And again, like Marty and I've been talking about, it's you have the permission. And to remember to breathe. And there are extra tips and tools for you that's provided for you, like the neurofeedback and being able to go. Is there other places other than Santa Barbara? I mean, how can we get a hold of you if they're like, oh my God, I totally have to do this. How can they do that?
Our website for one. And, you know, if people find a practitioner near them or a clinician, you can always email me, because, you know, this field is fairly new and not all neurofeedback is created.
Oh, yeah. Do your due diligence on anything, yeah, please. Yeah. You
know, some people go out and take a weekend workshop and say they know how to do neurofeedback, and that's not good. Mm-mm. So you have to be sure you're going to somebody who has experience been doing it, not necessarily huge credentials, but at least have experience. But, you know, now when you go to Google neurofeedback near me, you usually find somebody. So that's one way. Then, of course, you know, there are Hatha yoga student. I say Hatha refers to the poses, the stretching and so on, and the breathing techniques. They're everywhere. You know, even libraries and universities have that now. So, you know, I would encourage people to look around, see what's available to them. Usually you find it everywhere. And if you want, look at our website. And if you have a question, you can email me or my staff, or my wife, through the website, and we can guide you.
And let me give you the website really quick. It's www. And this is how you spell the name. It's not, you taught me how to pronounce it, Wettke, but that's not how you spell it. So, audience, no. Here you go. It's www.wuttkeinstitute.com. For
now,
those
let
of
me
you
back up. Go ahead. Yeah, it's Wettke, and then we took out institute. Now it's IPI.
Okay. But Wettke, I bet you IPI. If they just typed in WTTKE, yeah, they would find you. I know,
yeah,
I did that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
When you look at the website, you'll see that we do sound therapy too. I forgot to mention.
Oh, yes,
that's,
I saw that.
Extremely powerful tool, because it works with the mind and the body. My wife does that, actually uses tuning forks, and that's becoming quite well known now as another way to balance everything. So,
you know, it's what fits for you. And I use the analogy, Marty, of hats. You know, some people like the hats straight on, some like tall brims, or some are off to the side, some are caps, some are, there's all different shapes and sizes, because there's all different shapes and sizes of humans, right?
Yeah, yes.
So what we are saying, what I know I'm saying, and my promise to all of you and my listeners with this radio show, is providing you new perspective, new thoughts, new ideas, so you can try on the hat for yourself. Very the good. Biggest message is you have a big fat permission slip, audience. You absolutely can change, whether it's neuroplasticity and getting over your trauma. You can. It is absolutely scientifically proven you can. It's just little nicks in your wires. Let's get them straightened out. And I know for myself and Marty, we talked about the neural pathways and how they change so rapidly. Me being so tactile, I literally went online and I saw that, and I'm like, it was like, poof, huge for me. Because now if I don't so much anymore, but if I do, I start going down that rabbit hole, I immediately do a switch, you know, it's flipping the script, and I go into that neural pathway. I'm like, I'm going to love and trust right here. Love and trust. You can see it. Cool. To remind myself, right? And I put the visual of the neural pathway changing. So that's really important. Yeah. So there's all kinds of tips and tools. Marty, thank you so much. And thank you for spending this hour with us today, educating, promoting and loving on you. Thank you to your staff and your wife for giving us this hour with you. And when I'm in Santa Barbara, I would absolutely love to come and meditate with you guys. That would be such a gift.
Please do. Give us a call or an email.
I will. Thank you so much, you guys.
Thank you, Sue.
Thank you. And let me know how I can keep supporting you, because, I mean, I love this work. I absolutely love this. So keep me up to date. All right, you guys, next week, we're going to do some breath work. So I'm super excited to bring our next guest on. He specializes in breath work, and he's actually a soul brother of mine, and we've had some pretty incredible deep conversations about this. So until next week, I love you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in with us. Stay tapped in and tuned in to life, turned on to life. And until next week, each of you are a gift. Get out there and share yourself with the world. Let's roll.